Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Tuesday, November 26, 2013. My name is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in tonight to our special weekly edition of American Freedom Watch Radio with Karen Schoen and John Estabrook. Today I'm going to really surprise a couple people. I'm not going to rant for this first minute, but I am going to make a very, very quick statement. This will be my last show before Thanksgiving. And to be honest with you, I'm not going to have a show Thanksgiving. I'm going to be spending it with family. And I just wanted to take this time to wish everybody a very happy and safe Thanksgiving. And the other is just to, while we take this time to be thankful for what we have, to remember what it means to be an American and to thank God that we are Americans. I do that every day, and now we're at Thanksgiving. It's a time to go ahead and make sure we all think about it maybe just a few minutes more than what we might typically do. And the other is to say a prayer and ask God to continue to bless America. Ask God to continue to bless the United States of America and help us be the country we want to be, we should be, why God gave us this country, why we were blessed to have this country. So that's all I'm going to say for tonight. I'll be in my usual form next week. don't let people think I'm changing on that, but this week is the time to reflect on why we're Americans, what makes America special, and why we truly should be giving thanks for being Americans, and again, say a prayer and ask God to continue to bless the USA. And on that note, I'm going to hand this over to Karen.
Well, thank you so much, Sally, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving as well. And you are right, we have a lot to be thankful for. I just left a funeral, and I want to take this time to just remember Steve Hunter, a wonderful friend and patriot and founder of the Agenders, and to tell Steve that we will miss you wherever you are. We know you are in heaven, and we know that you will be the angel to look over us and to make sure, as you say, we get it right. So, Steve, it was a pleasure to know you, and it was wonderful for you to call me friend. And thank you for everything that you have done and everything that you have taught me. And folks, in Steve's memory, we will continue what we are doing. We will not stop. We will not give up. And we will not capitulate. And Sally started off the evening by talking about Thanksgiving. So let's remember a little bit about Thanksgiving and what it was all about. Pilgrims came to America because they were being oppressed religiously in England. And to get out of their oppression, they took that voyage across the Atlantic in winter. Many were killed, but they finally reached America. And when they came to America, they created a communal living where they believed that everybody should share in everything that they had. And no matter what anybody else had or what anybody did or the work and the effort of any individual would not be counted because all individuals had to be treated equally and everyone was supposed to share the same stuff. Does anybody know what happened to them? Well, they almost starved to death. Many died due to starvation and cold because they discovered that unless people are motivated to work as individuals, they cannot work as a collective. And today,
okay, I'm not sure what is happening there, but we've had some lines get dropped. Let's hope everybody gets to call back in here. Like I say, this is just kind of a freak of a couple of lines all being cut at the same time. And I don't want to go in. Let's see, hopefully Karen gets back on here in just a minute and continues the discussion about Thanksgiving. This is... Okay. And I'm not getting any messages. This is not to appear to be a Blog Talk Radio problem. And for you, those, okay, well, unfortunately right now I don't see anybody in the chat room. Let me see if Miss Texas can hear me. Miss Texas, you there?
Yes, I am, but I can't. I sign in, but they're not. The sign in isn't lasting. In other words, I'm in, but I'm not in. And I'm listening out here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. I can hear you. Okay. Let's see here. Let's see. This looks like John is returning. Hope we can open his. Okay, John, are you there? It drops again.
Mm-hmm.
I am not sure what's happening. This is very strange. My line's not dropping, and let's see, and obviously yours isn't. You're still out there as far as dialing in, because apparently there's something wrong in the chat room. Let's hopefully.
Well, I don't think it's the chat room because I logged in one time and got to you, but then I looked up and I was kicked out of Blog Talk Radio. In other words, I had signed in, but I wasn't signed in.
Strange. This is strange. And they're let's see if they call back in and see what's happening here.
Yeah. Maybe they, you know, maybe they won't give up and they'll just go ahead and, you know, keep trying because it's got to be something with Blog Talk Radio. I don't think it's your chat room.
Okay. Well, and I mean, typically, if something just happened, I wouldn't have given them a few minutes to get a notice in here. And
yeah.
Let's try this one more time. Let's see if we can get John on here again. His line dropped about 3 times.
Yeah.
Okay, John, are you there? It drops again.
I was just fixing to reboot my computer, thinking maybe I needed to do that. And then I saw that you saw that I was in the chat room. Whereas I didn't think I was in the chat room.
Right now, I don't see anybody in the chat room.
Well, you know I'm on, so.
Yeah.
And I didn't press some magic button, but that doesn't mean anything. It's a Blog Talk Radio.
there's definitely something going on here, folks. Apologize for those who are tuning in.
Maybe we're having weird sun activity. But let's blame it on that instead of where our little minds have a tendency to go sometimes.
Sunspots. Okay, and once again, we're going to try to get John on here. John, are you there? It keeps cutting them.
Yeah.
But the
you
thing is,
you signed on, then all of a sudden you're
in.
Not signed on. I usually come in through my Facebook account, but instead tonight I was going to do the other way. Well, it kicked me out, so I went to Twitter, and that didn't work either.
Okay, something strange. Excuse me. But as I wasn't going to get into too much of the detail stuff today. I was, again, just this is Thanksgiving week, and this is the last time on the air before Thanksgiving. I mean, there's a small chance I would do some kind of a show tomorrow, but I don't have anything planned. And I have banana bread and cranberry nut bread and some other goodies to bake tomorrow.
Oh, I think I'll come visit you. You've been getting off bite here lately.
Oh, yes. Okay, John, are you there? Hello,
nope.
John? I mean, it actually looks like I have John out there right now. It hasn't dropped him this time. Is anybody else out there? This is all too strange.
Besides the pain in the behind.
Let me try to see if I can get hold of... I'm going to try two things here. I'm going to try calling in on another line and see what happens. Okay.
I need to turn down my TV because I know you can hear everything going on in the background.
Yep. Okay, now I'm it, John.
Yes, ma'am. I finally made it in. I've been in and then back out again.
I
don't know what's going on.
I've seen you bounce back and forth like four or five times here. And
yes,
Karen
ma'am.
Got cut off, but I haven't seen her call back in, so I don't know if something happened, if Karen got called off into something else.
Oh, Lord.
No, I would be more apt to believe that she's having the same problems that John's having.
Yeah,
and it's most likely with weather, huh?
That's what I'm thinking, with the storms.
Yeah.
The storms that are coming east.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, and down here, I mean, we're in continuous rain, so I'm sure with the cell phone that it may be some rain fade going on.
Yeah, we're sharing from here in Texas. We didn't want y'all to, feel left out down there.
Well, I imagine Florida's going through the same thing, herself.
You know, the earlier part of the day, it's been windy, overcast, and just drizzling rain. It hasn't been anything severe. I can tell you, because I don't live too far from the airport, the air traffic hasn't seemed to have been too much interrupted here. I've been seeing and hearing the planes coming and going all day, so that part, it hasn't seemed to have done too much here. But, so I'm not, that is why it's kind of strange, too, because Karen's here in the state of Florida. You're in Louisiana, and, of course, Ms. Texas is in Texas, so... And, Texas obviously had its fair share, and then the really, really messy stuff has been in the Northeast. So, I don't know, but
well,
anyway.
We just have to keep our fingers crossed for everybody. So, traveling this time of year is always a, it's just what Americans do. We like to go home for the holidays, and that's what I guess my prayers are for anybody that is on the road and traveling and face the weather, and then also is when they get ready to go back home, that they get some type of weather conditions to travel in and that people are safe. Did Karen have the opportunity to share with everyone the loss of Steve Hunter?
Yes, she had mentioned that, and I'm not sure how much you heard because I know you kept kind of bouncing back and forth, but I did not do my typical rant, and I was, wishing everybody a happy and safe Thanksgiving and reminding all of us Americans to be thankful, to give thanks for being Americans, and to thank God for the USA and to ask God to continue to bless us. Bless our country. So I was talking about that, and Karen came on, and she did mention Steve, and she said a few words, very nice, and we're all very sad. But we're going to keep moving forward. We're not going to stop what we have to do to take care of our country.
That's one of the reasons now, if you didn't know Steve, he was a battler, a Vietnam veteran. A guy that when he was committed, you got everything that he could bring to the table, and I guess that's the mark of a true patriot, and hopefully, people will keep that patriot heart alive. I know that that's the way Steve would want it, and he would definitely never want us to give in to this battle. Just knowing him and the numerous conversations that we always had. I got to Skype, I guess Steve was one of the founding members of the Agenders and always was the technical guy that kept Karen and I and a lot of us on track and got us to where we could link up and communicate. And I don't know, he was a powerful force, and that's what we all have to be because we can't allow this move toward communism to continue at its own free will. We're going to throw roadblocks in its way every chance we get and every opportunity we get. The holiday season is rough on folks. I just saw a news report here on the local Lake Charles news. They're running a story, and it's going to be a little two-piece story on how people are suffering on food stamps. and the fact that there are 1 in 7 Americans this holiday season that will be reliant on food stamps to have their holiday meal. And all I can say is that folks really need to look at the liberals who have been in control of the budget and this all of this spending that's out of control and where it's leading us. And those poor folks and the people without jobs are the ones that these progressives are truly hurting, and it's time for them to wake up. Those 1 in 7 Americans that are without their own resources for their dinner table need to look at, you know, this is failed policy. It's not working. It's not being a success. It's not creating jobs. And until we go back to some fiscal, conservative, budgetary constraints on our Congress and stop allowing government to be the end-all, know-all and put the free market economy back in full force, we're all, you know, this failure is going to continue. You know, and it's sad to watch people that are suffering during the holidays, and that's just our American hearts. That's who we are as a people. We always reach out to lift up and to help our fellow man, and that's always our wish. So to have these progressive liberals paint conservative Americans as evil people who want to see suffering and want to throw grandma from the train or over the cliff, it's all BS, and it's coming down around their ears now. The failure that is Obamacare is playing out right before our eyes, but there's so many failures. But the huge failure is that we've got 1 in 7 Americans that are having to rely on government to get their groceries during this holiday season. And to me, that's sad. We've gone far wrong, and there is a course, and there are many solutions to a way forward that would employ Americans and put people back to work in this nation, an independent, free, representative republic. And we can do that only when we force that on these politicians.
Excuse me, John. I just want to let you know that Karen is back on. Apparently, it didn't give her any signal. We're not real sure what happened,
yep.
But Karen was just starting to talk about what Thanksgiving is all about, the history of Thanksgiving, and how people came together. I believe the very last thing you had said, Karen, was when people didn't have an incentive to work, when they thought everybody was going to take care of them, that's when we fall, we collapse as a culture kind of thing. That was, I think, where you were at when you...
trying something new, and that new thing that they were trying was collectivism. And collectivism meant that everybody shared from the pot equally, regardless of the labor that they produced. And what happened as a result of that was that people didn't work. There was no incentive. If I was just going to get food, why did I have to work for it? Why should I go in the field? As a result of that, almost the whole colony was wiped out due to starvation because people didn't work. When they flipped the colony around and changed it into individuals work and you get to keep the reward of your labor, guess what happened? A huge success. And right now we should reflect on Thanksgiving and remember, do we want the fundamental change back to what was not successful, or do we want to move forward in what we know is successful?
Yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, you know, there's a lot of power to that, Karen, and you know, history does have a way, and it always has repeated itself. And you know, being hung up in this middle ground, because I think that's where we're at when you see folks like Mitch McConnell condemning the Tea Party movement and the senators that are conservative. And you know, what's the point in that? What's the mission in Mitch McConnell? You know, what does he have? Well, I mean, he has a lot of political clout, and he's got a lot of lobbyists that he takes large checks from for Mitch McConnell's lifestyle. And that's what we have in Washington and our government. And they're, you know, riding the middle ground and not doing anything. Let's make a decision and let's do it as Americans. And I don't think that we're going to choose to be a collective nation. Number one, it has never succeeded. Anyone with the wherewithal to pick up and understand what socialism looks like and what collective attitudes bring to the table, it brings about failure. In every culture, every commune that's ever tried it, there are no success stories. And I would offer to anyone that's listening, if you know one success that has a history of long-term success of a collective people and citizenry, let me know. I'd like to hear from you, because I don't think there's anything in history that says it ever works. John,
I think you're absolutely right. I don't recall ever in any culture that was ever successful was based on mutual giving without participation and work.
Yeah.
The work ethic and the value of work was always the most important thing, and the ability that we are supposed to have in America is that you get to keep the rewards of your effort. That's the idea. Why are people successful? Because they get to keep what they've done. Why would you want to do something if everything you did was taken away and shared? All of a sudden, you start losing your desire to do anything. If it's not going to work, why would you want to do it? On this Thanksgiving, I think we have choices to make. And I know I just spent the evening with a friend at Steve's funeral, but I was talking to several friends, and they were all talking the same thing, which was, we have to go and sit and go to Thanksgiving and sit and listen to our liberal cousins and relatives spewing all of the liberal mania that they do. However, this may be a new thing because now we have an example to show them, and the example is called Obamacare. And my question to everyone, John, was, would we accept lies from our family members and our friends and our doctors and our attorneys and our bosses? No. I don't know anybody that would accept a lie and accept it and move forward on it, knowing that it was a lie. And yet, we are accepting a man who lies to us continually and not doing anything about it. And I think it's time that we did something about it.
Well, Karen, there's a large number of us that are taking action against him. And that's why, right now their effort is going to be, because he has openly gone to, what's his little Organizing America or whatever his new group is. He's got all kind of community organizers and it's not Acorn this week, whatever the name of the group is of the little socialist movement that Barack Obama wants to be the king of. Well, that's fine. Be the premier, the king, wherever you want to be, Barack. But the bottom line is that Obamacare and everything that it brings to the American people, it hinders health care. That's the one thing it's supposed to do, is give health care to the entire population. What a lie to ever believe that we had the wherewithal financially to do that. And he knew that. The Democratic Party knew that. The Republicans that supported Obamacare knew that going into it. This is never about taking care of Americans, because if it was, you can't take care of anyone by just giving to them. It is socially cruel just to give people a handout, because it never succeeds. It never does. Because if you don't teach a man how to feed himself, that's the greatness of our God, our Creator. Our Creator brings us all into this world with great equality. And then he gives us all a mind, a free mind, not controlled by government entities. If you just took a child and you had a mama and a father, a mama and a daddy, educate that child on what's right, what's wrong, biblically, and they lived a biblical life, and if those children just followed that biblical life, they'll see their way through. But guess what they'll also see? That a man labors. And he reaps the benefit of the fruit of his labor. That's what's supposed to happen. And that's not, the fact that the communist in Russia got it wrong, the fact that the communist Chinese, here's a, a real telling fact. If anyone wants to bring up Obamacare around the Thanksgiving dinner table, share with them the fact that Communist China, guess what? The move that Communist China is having to take right now is toward a free market economy. Guess what they found out over the last 20 years? That regardless of where I move you, if I move you from a village and I put you in a nice, brand-new high-rise building, and I allow you no access to nothing but the same as the next guy in that high-rise building, they had a very high rate of suicide,
yes,
increasing all the time. Huh? So these people are the people that have studied, you know, they're very slow and patient. So they understand, you know, if they track suicides, what's causing this, what's bringing this about. And they know, so they say, well, we have to let these people have things that belong just to them. Let them have an iPhone. Let them have things that are theirs, that are not in the collective. Let them have something that will have their color, their choice. So they're starting to give their citizens free market choices in what they can purchase and what they can buy. And they're having a happier, you know, so now the outcome is, and what they hope to do, is achieve fewer suicides. You know, they don't want their workforce dying off. You know, even though it's free labor, cheap labor, they don't want to have it dying off and jumping out of windows, because guess what that does? It depresses the remaining workforce.
You know, John, hold that thought, because that carries right over into what's going on in America today. You heard about this knockout game that the kids are now playing?
Yep.
Well, think about that. And what you said is so true. These kids have no education. Their education is poor, unbelievable poor. They can barely read and write. They can't have a job. They don't have a job because there aren't any jobs. What does a person do all day long when they have nothing to do? Well, obviously, they get in trouble, because that's the only door that's open. And what do we have right now? We have kids running around playing a knockout game. We have kids that are behaving in flash mobs. And we have all of the early signs of the deterioration of a great nation as its children are lost. And I really believe our children are lost.
Yep.
Yes,
yep.
They are morally corrupt. They are. There is no morality. When you live in a society that anything goes, everything goes. And that's
there you
bad.
Go. Yeah.
And
Karen,
have,
that's the same thing, you know, and since we talk about history, and because history repeats itself, and we have to know that every one of these societies, the great, you know, think back to Rome. Anyone that wants to go back and look at that Greece, look at Egypt, look at the Roman Empire, and start to look at what happens when the government is the end-all, know-all to its people, and they become, you know, the supreme rulers, handing down the pieces and the loaves of bread. And that's what we have. We've got 1 in 7 Americans relying on the government for their loaf of bread. And then guess what they're going to do? They're going to continue to get in that line until that line or that loaf of bread no longer feeds them and their children, and that's when we're starting to see the collapse, but there's always a visible start of the collapse, and I think America's been in that for the last 20 years. The decline of morality has been such where are we now in certain sectors of our society totally morally bankrupt? And I say, yes, we are, and now you're going to start to reap that the whirlwind.
Yes, and I want all the folks, anybody that has a child in school right now, go and look up the sexual orientation in Common Core. You will be appalled. You will be disgusted. What they are teaching your kids is disgusting. There is no love. There are no feelings of empathy. There is nothing other than go out, do it. If it makes you feel good, it's okay. That's not the truth, folks. That's not reality, and that's not what goes on in the world. It's not if you do it, it'll be okay. If you do it and it's wrong, you're going to pay the consequences. And that's what our kids are not learning. They're not learning that their actions have consequences. They're not learning right from wrong. They are learning to be almost anesthetized. The taking of the life of another human being is meaningless to them because their lives have no meaning. And when your life has no meaning, you can't imagine that somebody else's will also. So your life becomes discounted, and that's what this government is doing. The purpose of goal and goal of Common Core is to eliminate God and morality from human nature so that you become reactive, not proactive.
And Karen, let me ask you, because the minute you said it, the question is eating off. How can people that are listening, and for myself, where can we go to find that verbiage in Common Core? Where can we go and get a copy or get somewhere online? Because, you know, when I'm protesting Common Core here in Louisiana, and we're having a great – this is a big battle in Louisiana right now, and I think that we're making some progress with our state legislators, but people always ask me, well, where can I get that at? Where can I find – do you have an outlet to where we could go and find out what it is that Common Core says about sexuality and what they're teaching these
people? There is a wonderful website, and it is called stopcommoncore.com, and you will find all of that information on there. John, our guest is having a trouble getting in, so if you can pick it up for a minute, I'm going to see if I can get her back.
Okay.
I believe she may be back now. Let me see.
Okay.
Christine, you there?
Christine?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, this weather's got these cell phones.
I know, we're having trouble with our weather, so hold on 1 second and let me see if I can grab her.
Okay.
While we're doing that, this is Miss Texas again.
Uh-huh.
You know, in talking about the discussion you were just having, I had a realization.
Okay.
This Common Core, yes, it's something that we feel is new. But in thinking about this, I'm realizing when they came up with the fact that parents could no longer correct their children without getting CPS involved,
uh-huh.
I believe, if you'll stop and think about it, it started with the psychologists. They all got involved, and we're supposed to let children grow up and be what they want to be, do what they want to do, let them have life experiences. Don't tell them no. Just let them be.
Uh-huh.
And this is sounding exactly like a Common Core teaching.
Yeah, let me – Common Core – is, you know, to me, is the end game. And that's what I've shared with many educators, teachers here in Louisiana. And trust me, I have, I guess, the folks inside the education system that are willing to listen are pretty awesome people because they're willing to step outside of a box that's been designed for them. But this is the last. This is the last stage, and this is the completion of where they want to go, Miss Texas, and not the beginning. By no means the beginning started to take
no,
place.
No, I'm not saying it's the beginning. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying.
No. I mean, I understand what you're saying. Oh, when they've shifted our way of thinking about how we rear our children and whether we can even use corporal punishment on our own children, because trust me, you see a lot of state governments and local governments intervening whenever a child, if you spank a child, you better be justified.
Well, but this is
folks,
going
I am,
over
I'm very...
25 years.
Yeah.
I think we have Christine on. Christine, are you there?
Christine is bringing in another side. Because one of the worst things that I have seen is the devastation in the black community because of the lack of education. And unfortunately, it always hits the group of people, the poorest, that become the victims and are stuck in that vicious cycle. And Christine, you know all about that firsthand, folks. This is Christine Timmons, and we love Christine. We're so proud of her. She's a citizen activist and a black conservative. Oh, my God. Wonderful. Thank you for joining us. And Republican, yes.
And I was just inducted into the Broward Republican Executive Committee.
Yay, Christine. Oh, that is fabulous.
Well, you know, they're having a lot of success here in the Fort Lauderdale area. The Palm Beach Republicans gave an outreach to African Americans on the 17th. It was packed. They were signed. They were registering African Americans. They had speakers up there speaking against the Democratic Party from all the way back to the days of the Black Panthers. Then we had a young African American black man praising the Constitution of the United States of America and saying that that's the only thing that's going to save America no matter what color you are.
Thank God.
Yeah.
And you know something, Christine, you're right. Look at all of the poor cities. Look at all of the areas where there's blight, where there's ghettos, where there's whatever. Look at all of these areas. They were all run by Democratic liberals. Promising. You know, I thought about this the other day. If we actually had all the money that was promised in those programs and we gave it to the family directly, what a big difference than what is going on today.
Well, you got to understand, Karen, I know about this issue from the very beginning, from the very onset of the ADC welfare program, that's Aid to Dependent Children, and I rallied against it back in that day. And I told everyone that this was a system that the Democrats were setting up because African Americans had started going to job training classes, and they were really doing a good job. They was getting good reports in all the media was talking about the great jobs the African American was doing after President Kennedy and what he did with the 1964 Civil Rights Act. We could go into federal court. Every time somebody messed with us, we could go to federal court. And so the Democrats came up with that ADC welfare system, and 2 years later, that was when they first started bringing immigrants from Mexico. And when they brought the immigrants from Mexico, they brought the drugs into the black community. So this is not an accident. I've said this from the beginning. I have a 400-page book that I wrote with the help of Congressman Dick Chrysler of the 104th Congress. And I explained everything in there to this country about how the African-American community got to where it is. When they started that drug and welfare stuff, black people had never heard of marijuana. Every now and then you might hear about the rich entertainers, but it wasn't nothing like that in the black community. That was deliberately put into the black community by the Democrats when they put in that ADC welfare. 2 years later, all hell broke loose in the African-American community, killing, shooting, burning down, hatred. They put so much hatred in the black community. Everything changed. Remember the days when Smokey Robinson and they were all singing about love and happiness and Diana Ross?
Yep.
They destroyed that. They brought the drugs in, and then the next thing you knew, they were singing about bitches and hoes and dope and kill the police. They were singing about the environment they were brought up in, that the Democrats, they masterminded this. They turned the African-American community into a subculture from what we really were. And the reason they did that is because they never want the African-American community to find out that all the technology that makes the world work was actually invented by black people. They want you to not know that. And then they took and turned the same thing. Before it was over, they turned the same thing against the white community. The next thing you knew, they had the Latin Americans was coming below that border, digging tunnels under Arizona and Texas, and they started flooding this country with drugs. It all comes from Latin America, Mexico, Haiti, and Jamaica. And the Democrats brought these people here. They invaded this country with them so they could keep you down educationally and socially. So this is not an accident, honey. You should read my book. If you read my book, you would know exactly how they did it. So this is not an accident. They wanted a plan to make you destroy yourself and like doing it. You understand that? That's what they did.
I do.
And now we're coming to the point where we are now with the Common Core. I heard you guys talking about that. Oh, that's not the worst thing that they've done. Oh, they started messing up education way back in the late 60s.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. You know, this was also very interesting. Somebody made a point the other day, and they said, we took a system that 80% of the people, 70 to 80% of the people, were happy with their insurance.
Oh,
and we allowed the establishment to convince us that we had to change everything so that 20% of the people could be happy.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, now nobody's happy. And I began to think of exactly how this equated to education. When we were in school in the 50s, America was in the top 10 in everything.
Yes.
Sometimes we came in second and first and third. And now we are 27th through 37th, and we're supposed to be proud of that? So we took an educational system that worked, and we turned it into a mess that will never work.
That's not an accident.
And
that
is not,
you know who
an
did
accident.
That? Tip O'Neill.
Yep.
Tip O'Neill and the Democrats. I believe in my heart that Tip O'Neill was a communist, because you remember back in the day when they had they had the communist movement.
Yep.
And Ethel and Julius Rosenberg and them were all executed. I swear, Tip O'Neill, he was worse than them. That man, I think he was the biggest treasonous in this country. I think he should be dug up and held in treason posthumously. He started all this mess. Even the federal court belonged to the people. Before he started that mess, you could take any complaint you had against a city or a state, like these red light tickets and all that. You could take that to federal court and use the constitutional laws to overcome that. You can't do that now. The federal court does not belong to us. So when they do all these things to us with our education stuff, we have no court to go to. Because you should be able to go before a federal judge and explain these things, but you can't do that. You know why you can't do that? Tip O'Neill and the Democrats, they ran this country for 39 years. They put the judges in office. All of the laws that we are living by now were installed by Democrats. Now, the Republicans took over the House, in the Senate and the House for 2 years. They didn't get a chance to write hardly nothing. No, everything we're doing, it was done by Tip O'Neill. But I will tell you this, the Supreme Court has been overturning at least 10 things they did, and they're still working on overturning some of the stuff that Tip and them did. The next thing they got to do is overturn the education.
Yep.
The national, whatever they call it, there's nothing in the Constitution written for the federal government to have a blasted thing to do it with education. That's supposed to be done on the state level. Amendment number 10 clearly says that. When you read your Constitution book, you can read it from now on, and you will never read anything to say Congress shall be in charge of education. It's just not in there. It's just not in there, and they can't call it commerce. No, no,
nope.
Now, getting back to health care, now what you said, didn't nobody want this in the first place, and I told you this before, there's also nothing in the United States Constitution that says the president or Congress can make you buy anything. What they can do is charge you a tax, and that is why the Supreme Court made it a tax. But Mr. Obama is acting like he got the right to tell you that you must buy insurance by 2014 or pay a fee. And what the Supreme Court told him, you can tell them if they don't have insurance, they have to pay a tax. maybe. And then the Supreme Court, and I got the paper right here in this house, the Supreme Court ruled that even if you don't pay the tax, they can't give you no fines, no fees, no penalty, no liens, no nothing. Yet they're on the TV telling people all this stuff, you know, and they're still listening. But one good thing I can say for the people, only 1,300 people, that's the most ever signed up in any one state, was 1,300 people. And that state had 600-some thousand people without insurance. Nationally, out of 48 million people uninsured, less than a million people have signed up for Obamacare. So what's going to happen to Obamacare? It is going to implode.
Won't that be a lesson?
They can't start it back next year. Don't nobody want to be in it. And even the black people now, they sick of it. The ones in Detroit, they all mad. They worried that they're going to lose all of their little income tax check, you know, what they rely on. And so there is protest against Barack Obama, not by people like us, by the millions of people who refuse to buy it, even though they don't have insurance. I met a person today that told me that they weren't going. I said, well, don't buy it. And I explained it to them. Then you got to look at it like this, Karen. Do you know that over 135 million more people now don't have insurance?
Yes. I mean, that was
And they don't qualify for Obamacare. So what's going to happen to them when they try to get their insurance back? It could be 10 times higher. So that man should be impeached. And then he gets up on TV and everywhere. I read what he said about his apology. You can't just apologize for telling that big of a blasted lie. We're all supposing these people get sick right now. What's going to happen to them?
That's right.
You know what else?
The other thing he was saying, too, is a lie, because he was saying is you're getting a better plan. Well, you're not
getting a better plan.
First of all, you're right. You have no plan. But I am very well past my childbearing years. There is absolutely no reason for Karen to have to have insurance for pregnancy. I don't smoke. Why am I paying insurance for people that smoke?
Right.
I am a healthy person, thank God. I thank God every day that I am a healthy person. I don't need I don't need day-to-day insurance. I need catastrophic insurance. If I go to a doctor, I can pay to go to a doctor. I could pay to visit my doctor. However, what's happening now is the catastrophic insurance, which I really need, going to be gone, and the going to the doctor every day, which is going to wind up costing me a lot more in time, effort, and energy than I need, and then the insurance comes with a $5,000 deductible. Well, if I added up the entire time in my life of the last year when I went to the doctor, if I spent $300, it was a lot. So let's say I spent $1,000. That's still less than my $5,000 deductible. So why do I need insurance that covers me every minute? I don't.
Well, basically, under the Constitution, under what the Supreme Court ruled, he does not have the right to tell you that you must be insured. He can't do that. What he can do is say, if you're not insured, you may have to pay a tax. Now, when I called the IRS about it, they told me that's depending on whether or not you tell them that you don't have insurance. They say if you omit any coverage, anything about your insurance, that there's nothing they can do. So all this stuff they're saying about, you know, that they can get you in the future years, that's a lie. I mean, this man, I'm starting to think that he's retarded. I'm just going to be totally honest with you. I'm starting to think that he's retarded. And here's why. If he had $660 billion to put on that website, why didn't he take that $660 billion and start a national health plan, and then people who want to be a part of it take get your premiums from that?
That would have made a lot better sense, huh?
Well,
I think he retarded. And you know another reason I think he retarded? I'm going to tell you this. He's supposed to be a constitutional attorney. So am I. I knew I sent him a document. I put it through all my newsletters. I went around to all the commission meetings on TV, and I read the Commerce Clause. Yeah, I don't have to read it. I can say I cited the Commerce Clause, and I told him, sir, you cannot make the people buy anything under that clause. You are probably going to have to make this a tax. And I told him, you can't use Amendment 16 because that's the income tax clause. There's only one other clause that he could use, and that's Article 1, Section 8, right above the Commerce Clause. The one right above it says the United States can levy taxes for the welfare of America. So when the Supreme Court told him he had to make it a tax, that's the only one he can use. And if you got a Constitution handbook or computer, just pull it up and you can read it for yourself. That's the same clause that Social Security and Medicare is under. You can't just pull a tax out the air. There has to be a clause for it. You have to have a constitutional reason. So I say to you, that is the only thing he could do was take that $660 billion and start a national health plan where you, if you want to sign up, anybody could sign up, but you have to volunteer to sign. He can't make you. It's just like he can't make you go into Blue Cross. He couldn't make you go into that either. But at least you would have $660 billion to start, and then people would probably want to be in that. It's similar to Medicare, where you get 88% of your hospitalization paid, and they pay about 88% of your doctor. So maybe you pay 20, maybe 10 or 15, or maybe no copay, and then a couple of bucks of no copay on your meds. That would not have been a bad plan. That would, but that ain't what he
well,
did.
Here's the thing, though, Christine.
Huh?
Yeah. Let me share this with you.
Okay.
And you're spot on because you know they had to call this a tax, and that's what Chief Justice Roberts, when you read his decision, I mean, that's what he said. But now here's the thing. How many times in media, how many times out of Barack's own mouth do you hear him say Obamacare tax, Affordable Care tax? Because if they'd have went to the people when they were debating this and the conversation about this becoming law, if they would have declared it what it was, a tax, and they always knew that it was going to have to be declared a tax. They knew that. I mean, this was a plan, and it was a plan to wreck the health care system, but I think bigger than that is to bankrupt the country. So that's why you spend the $682 million, and you don't get a website running.
But what good does that do you? Where does it get us in the end? Where does that get America?
Well, it gets them in control, sweetheart.
Is he trying to destroy this country?
Yes.
I have a feeling yes.
I believe that.
After the things that you said, Christine, and all of the things that he's done that does not make sense, but it costs a lot of money, there's only one motivation that comes from that, and that is the destruction of America. And I believe that that's what he wants. When he said, I want to fundamentally transform America, he meant it. He doesn't like individualism.
But this is not a fundamental change. This is a destructive change.
But that was what his fundamental change, I believe,
said,
was to bring America down some pegs. He didn't like the fact that we were up at the top of the totem pole. He thought that we should be down below the same as everybody else.
He's not going to get away with it.
I hope not.
I heard the polls today. I saw the polls today. You know what the polls are reading? In every precinct where it's not completely Democrat, you know, like Broward, almost complete, all of the Republicans are in the lead in every race.
Good.
We got to get this man out of there. We got to get this man out of there so we can get something going. I'm trying to get the Republicans to look at this whole big picture. Not only do you get rid of Obama and Obamacare, you know what else they got to do in order to stop some of this mess? See, because everything we're living by, Tip O'Neill, the Democrats wrote it. That's why it's going so wrong.
Yeah.
We both have to use Article 3, Section 1 and 2. That clause in the Constitution gives Congress the power to close the federal court if they got the lead in the House and the Senate. So like the Republicans, you don't need the president to sign it because it says the judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordained and established. Then it goes on with 10 or 12 more words, and it says, each judge, both supreme and inferior, shall hold office doing good behavior. Did you hear me say lifetime judge in there?
No, I just was listening for that.
They can't do that. I don't
know. Right.
It started way back, I think. I don't know who did it, but the Constitution gives Congress the right right now, tomorrow, if they had the lead in the House and Senate, someone could introduce a bill to change the U.S. District Court, that's the appellate and circuit court, into 8-year courts.
That's right.
They could
do that.
Wait a minute. I ain't done. On the issue of the president selecting the circuit judges, federal, and the district judges, guess what the Constitution say about that? Article 2, Section 2, right near next to the last paragraph, it says Congress may by law vest the appointment in the president alone if they think it's proper for the officers of the court and the heads of department. You didn't know that, did you?
No, Congress, I didn't remember that.
If Congress say, well, look, no longer proper for the president to select the federal circuit and district judges, because then this is the truth. Over 100 federal districts don't have federal judges. And I know, because I just lived in a district that didn't have one. And the circuit judges ain't worth a crap. All they got to do is say it's no longer appropriate. We have districts that aren't covered, and it's too many people in America. See, back when they wrote these, all this stuff, when the federal court started, it was just a handful of people.
Right.
So the Congress can say, what we're going to do, we're going to send federal district and circuit judges to a vote of the people in the circuit and in the districts, and you don't have to amend the Constitution because it already say Congress may by law if they think proper. So if Congress say this ain't proper no more, they can take that from the president.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, I'm fairly convinced after what Mr. Reed just got through in the Senate, you know, that they have full intention of allowing Barack Obama to fill those judgeships,
and they will divert the Republican Party completely. When we get the lead, see, we're going to get the lead in the House and the Senate again.
Well, I mean, what happens right now,
if the House takes place,
Barack Obama, between now and the election of 2014, fills and seats those judges, what takes place?
If he does that and a Republican House and Senate take over, they can close that court down. Did you just
okay.
hear me? Article 3, Section 1, say Congress. It says the judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court. That means they can't change the Supreme Court. And in such inferior courts as Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. So when the Republicans take over the House and Senate again, if they decide they want all them judges gone, every one of them is gone. And guess what else they can do? They can hold every federal judge seated in treason so that they can't run for office again. And we'll get all new people that you vote in.
Well, and that's the way it should be. Let me ask you this, Christine, and you too, Karen. Have you looked at the convention of the states?
Let's hold that thought for 1 second because we're at the top of the hour. And you are listening to American Freedom Watch Radio. And we are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, and on Red State Talk Radio on Wednesday afternoon and on Sunday evening. Please visit us on our website, listen to our broadcasts, share them with your friends, and please visit Agenda21Today.com, AmericaIsNamed.com, SaveAmericaFoundation.com, and PanhandlePatriots.com. And I am really glad that you brought up the papers that are going around with the Convention for the States, because we need everybody to understand that very, very clearly of the danger of doing that. And I am not in favor of it. As a matter of fact, I asked everybody this question. Maybe you can answer it, John. because in Florida, I don't see any constitutional statesmen in our Florida House or Senate. Who on earth would we send to a convention when we know full well that the progressives are just sitting, lapping their lips with a new constitution that George Soros even wrote, and it's on one of his websites. I remember seeing it. I think it was the Tides Foundation or one of his Progress for America groups. But they even have the new constitution waiting and ready for us. Aside from the fact that
is this a state constitution? Yeah.
No, this is a federal. They want a federal convention of the states to discuss the Constitution. There's nothing wrong with the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't have to be changed. It has to be followed. And our problem is our children don't know it. Our children can't read and write. They have no idea what the Constitution is. Why on earth would we want
to
entertain changing it?
You have to have three-quarters of the states to do it. And three-quarters of Congress, which you're not going to do it in a long time. You're not going to do it in a long time. So I'm
not going to worry about all of that.
Right. What I'm going to worry about right now is getting them Democrats out of the lead.
well, that's true.
That's my main issue now. If you can just knock them out of the lead, we might concede some leeway. Now, I met a lady last night at the BREC meeting. You know, I told you they inducted me into the executive committee meeting. She's a person whose family came here in the early 60s, and she is screaming bloody murder about how they're letting people come in here and sneak across the border and get welfare checks. She's worse than we are, Karen. She wants to stop it. She said she's going to do all she can. She's working hard trying to see to it that the federal government stop doing this. And then I explained to her Article 1, Section 9, you know, the one that gives this power to the states. And also, I need to explain this the way she saw it. When I explained that to her, Article 1, Section 9 says that the migration and importation of such persons is what any of the states now existing shall think proper to admit. She got kind of upset. And then she says, yeah, but look at all the people. I said, but they're not coming under that law anymore. They're coming under what the Democrats wrote. I finally got her to see that. And she says, well, then, you know what? She said the Republicans should take that law then and use it against the Democrats. And you know what she said? She said she's going to work on it because I got to explain to you guys, too. Now, what that constitutional law does, it gives the states the power to admit who they think proper to admit, and each one of them got to pay the money that Marco Rubio said the feds was going to be getting. It's about $1,500 a year, $500 for migration, importing them, and registering. He said the United States was going to get it, plus 7 years back pay. So we told him that's supposed to go to the states. So that's one thing they're taking from the states. Then they're taking from the states the right to admit who they think proper. Then they're taking that same right from the people each state. The people in each state got the right to bring as many people as they want to, as long as you keep them on your property and you support every one of them. The churches used to bring immigrants back in the day, and the churches took care of them and supported them. Businesses, clubs and groups. But when you bring them, you got to register them with the state, and you have to pay the fees, whatever it is, to migrate them and have them in your house. And they could stay there as long as you paid those fees, and they could not be deported. And then, just to be totally honest with you, under the United States Constitution, that clause, when it say what the states think proper, that means every person in the world got the constitutional right to ask a state, can I come there and live? And the state say, well, you know, you got to pay this. We need to know about your background. If the state approved for you to come there to that state, you can't be deported. So she says, well, why aren't they, what's going on now? They can't do that no more. They took away the constitutional rights of these people, too. See, because back in the day, 200-some-odd years, that's the way people came to America, and we didn't have any trouble. And now when the Democrats took away the state's power to admit people so they can register not be deported, they also took away the people who come here, their right to go and be registered in the state. So it's a double-edged sword. And so now they call these 11 million people illegal when they made it the way they, if it wasn't for them, they wouldn't have to be illegal, and it wouldn't be near as many of them over here because the states won't have to admit you unless they think proper. See, now they can just waltz across that border and do anything. See, back in the old days, they never would have thought about bringing no drugs across that border because the state police, the local police, any citizen could call the police and tell the police where you at, and they would go and get you. But you know they can't do that anymore. So this, when I tell you that the Democrats make big messes, this is one of the biggest messes they ever made. So now here we got 11 million people or so here in the United States. So under the terms that they're here, they're not really illegal immigrants. They are invaders. That's Article 4, Section 4. It says the United States shall protect each state from invasion. So these are not really illegal immigrants. These are invaders. And as such, they are enemies of the state and don't have the right to be admitted to the state or the United States. The United States don't have the right to give them anything. Article 3, Section 3 says treason is levying war against any of the United States or giving aid or comfort to any enemy. So if you are an invader in a state and the state can't register you because you invaded, then the federal government not supposed to give you one dime. And this is what she was saying. She's saying, well, why is the federal government doing this? And I told her, the Democrats, that's why they're doing it. So we got a real big mess on our hand here. So what we're going to try to do to stop these people, one of the things we're going to do, we're going to try to get the immigrants to try to get the state power back so they can try to become a legal state resident. But once you become a legal state resident, you can't get anything from the federal government. And so that the way she see it is, well, then the Republicans should get up before the immigrants will say, y'all talking about what we did, but we didn't do nothing to y'all. You guys had the right under the Constitution. You could have came here and registered with the state. But the Democrats took away your power to register, so now you're an invader. And it's not our fault because you're an invader. Do y'all understand that?
Yes.
It is not our fault. They are invaders, not because of what the Constitution wrote, not because of what the Republicans did. They are 11 million invaders in this country because the Democrats, back in the 70s, took away all the state's powers to register them and took away all of their powers to be registered because millions of people came to America under that law. And we didn't have, did we have any trouble out of immigrants? No. We never had a minute trouble out of immigrants until the Democrats took it over from the Constitution. Now look at what we got. They started this mess down in the 60s, and by the 70s, they had the Mexicans and them Latinos over here putting dope all over America. And then in the mid-70s, they got the court to rule that they had the legal right, federal right to do that and all this stuff. And they got all these Senate bills, 744, and the wet foot, dry foot. You can't do that. That's what basically what's been happening. The Democrats have been invading this country. This is an invasion. They have been invading us. This is a drug invasion. Do you know that we are being defeated with drugs? Just about everything you see in Florida, Texas, all the southern states was all bought with drug money. All these businesses they got, most of it was done with drug money. Do you understand that?
Yes.
This is how they've been taken over, and now they want us to speak their language. And this is what we're going to be fighting this tooth and nail. So I got this lady who is a real immigrant from back in the day. She said her parents, they had to be here a certain number of years. It was 5 years back in the old days, and you had to learn history. You had to learn a lot of things. They ain't got to learn nothing now. Just walk across
that
border and be here a few months, and the federal judges, do you know the federal judges are committing treason?
Yes,
it is. That's treason. And guess what else? Under Article 6 of the United States Constitution, it says all laws of the United States shall be in pursuance of the U.S. Constitution. If it don't pursue the Constitution, even though they made them citizens, they really are not citizens. No.
That is true.
No. And so what we got to do, we got to get the Republicans to gear into this. Now, one Republican, well, actually two Republicans in the House, Robert Goodlatte, he's got a House Rule 2278, and that's saying something about giving states the power to enforce immigration laws and create their own policies. And another guy has the same thing, Dan Webster, and so we don't know what's going to happen. Now, I did hear Senator Lemieux last night. You remember Senator Lemieux?
Yes, I do.
Well, he done backed up on us.
Okay.
Oh, he talking this stuff about diversity, this, and all the different nations here. But those nations invaded this country.
Well, first of all, the diversity, it has been proven over and over again. Diversity and multiculturalism do not work. Why was America successful? Because when people came here, they learned what it was to be an American.
That's
they
what
learned
that lady
English.
Said.
And they learned the Constitution, and they learned what it was to become unified under one God in one country, all driving the same direction.
Yep.
And multiculturalism means there is no accountability, and they're all over the place, and they are continuing to be all over the place.
And then
so,
he kind of pissed me off, just to be honest with you, because they've been saying diversity for all these years, but 80% of them people still vote Democrat. And I say to you, why should the Republicans be digging in a Democrat garbage can looking for some treasonous people to vote for them when, like I told them, 3 million Republicans did not vote last year. They were talking about that at the BREC meeting about how in Broward County, 65,000 people didn't vote. And they were talking about around the country, which I told them this last year. Instead of you trying to worry about getting these Hispanic votes, because they proved that the Hispanic vote did not pull Obama in. It was a black vote. They said more black people voted for the first time in America than white people. And the Wall Street Journal said, that's because over 3 million Republicans didn't vote. You know why they didn't vote? They were disenfranchised. Ain't
that's
nobody
right.
said not one word about the Americans. They talk about this diversity and this high tech. You know how that mess don't make no sense. High tech starts here in America, and you got 30 or 40 million high tech Americans laid off. So what did you tell me something about you finna bring some high tech? What you gonna do with the 30 or 40 million people you already got? And then it is not the duty of the United States to do this. There's nothing written for them to do that. And so this is the way we're gonna be pressing on this thing, you know, to try to stop this. You know, and the reason that the Republicans didn't vote, they didn't say now. What all they said was, we're going to cut Social Security, we're going to cut Medicare. And I called Paul Ryan and Eric Cantor. I said, is y'all crazy? Social Security and Medicare is not in the general fund. They don't put it in the general fund. And I told them, we found out back in the 104th Congress that from Newt Gingrich's name, that when the Republicans got in there, they told us the Democrats had used trillions of dollars of Social Security money and the wars that they made up and other programs. And they were supposed to get us that money back. They claim that every time they borrowed some money, they put a little IOU. It is supposed to be a lot. You remember that crap?
Yeah,
it's in the lockbox.
An IOU, I remember that.
They haven't that back yet. I told him, I said, Paul, y'all keep this mess up and we ain't going to win this time. But they didn't pay me no attention. You notice they ain't saying nothing this time about Medicare and Social Security. Yep. They ain't saying a word. They better not doggone it. And what they need to be doing, I done told all these candidates around here, you need to be going out before these Democrats and using the Constitution against them, and you need to be talking about what you going to do for Americans to put the Americans back to work who have been disenfranchised from the influx of immigrants. That's what they're supposed to be saying. Oh, no. Are they trying to say more and more, talking about some diverse and all this crap? You can't do that stuff. You can't invade this country with other people. And how you going to do that? You got your own people. And Cardinal Winsky, oh, he makes me sick. You know, the Catholic diocese down there, he always putting all this stuff in paper. Oh, how great they are. And they run most of the business. And I called him. I told him off, and I wrote him a letter, and I sent him the copies of Granville T. Wood, an African-American man, and Elijah McCoy. And that proves to you that Tom Edison and Graham Bell got all that stuff from them men. I said, and I told him the white people and the black people is the one that built America from a wilderness. The Spanish didn't do nothing. The Latinos, the Mexicans, Haitians, Jamaicans, and the Indians didn't do nothing. And now you're going to let them take over, and you're going to tell me how great they are? What I asked Cardinal Winsky, what did they invent? They ain't invented nothing. And why should we speak their language? If they so smart, tell them this, y'all, if they so smart, what they doing up here? If their language is so great, why are they here? How come you ain't down there running your own land?
Well,
that's right.
Because they had to come here. Their land is so dumb, they didn't know how to do nothing. And so now they're going to take their numbers of invasion, and guess how else they say they're going to take over? Illegitimate births.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
They say, in other words, they're going to bastardize their nation.
Yep.
That's what they're – you've seen it, Karen.
Yep.
You've seen it.
Yes,
I sent you that copy. She said we're going to take over by having babies. But you know what?
That's been an old point for a long time.
Excuse me. You know what the
Constitution
says?
That's a mechanism. Hey, let me tell you who taught them that. And that's where we need to go back to when we talk about the Democrats and the Democratic Party. We've got to go back to where in the 1960s when this really went off the rails. And if you want to study it and understand it, in the 1960s, that's exactly what they did say, and they've always used their power to gain votes by giving stuff to folks that really didn't ask for it, didn't need it. But if I give it to you and you take it, then you're going to continue to come back and want some more. And they've always done that. And illegitimate births, and look, that was a community organizing ploy from Saul Alinsky.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all you've got to do is go look at communism
it.
And how they say that you can take a nation over without firing a single shot. And who's the old ball-headed son of a gun that said that? Nikita Khrushchev.
Oh, wait a minute. I just sent Karen a copy. That's what the president of Mexico is saying right now.
Yes.
She said taking over eastern and western United States without firing a shot. But let me tell you what the Constitution says. The Constitution says that the United States shall protect each state from invasion. So if a woman, an invading woman, comes to the country and have a baby, her baby is an invader too.
That's right.
As such, you can't make that baby a citizen because it was born here, because it's born during an invasion. And you got to go by what the Constitution says. It says protect and invade. It's the same as if, say, a Martian ship came down here on the shore. Okay, a Martian born. You're going to destroy that Martian egg, ain't you? Same thing for these babies born, that these women come in. And what kind of whores and prostitutes are these? You know what I'm saying? Who, you know, and I've always said that, you know, that these women who have babies for to get on a welfare check, what kind of injustice is that to a child? That should be prosecutable under the Mann Act. Coming across that border to pop a baby, to lose a baby in the condition while you committing a crime of coming across that border, that woman should be arrested and charged with the Mann Act. Do you know what the Mann Act is?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. You know,
when
one
you
thing
cross,
I... That's,
here's what the Mann,
what?
Mann Act... Listen to the Mann Act first. When you cross any border or state land and you use a child in the commission of any kind of crime, that's the Mann Act, and it's a felony. a federal felony. They should, every one of them women should be charged with a federal felony because they're in this state, in the United States, as an invader, and you go try now to go to the welfare to get money so this baby can help you with your invasion. They should be charged with a criminal act.
So we got to turn it. Christine, you brought something to light that is probably going to be eye-opening, and we as patriotic Americans need to stop calling these people illegals, and let's start referring to them and everything that we write and everything that we say to these congressmen and these senators as the invaders.
That's because I'm glad you – that's what – write it down. Article 4, Section 4. Karen, you can email it. Didn't I send you that?
Yes, you did.
You can Article 4, Section 4.
Section
it clearly
4.
Says it. That they
Article
are not,
4, Section 4 is very interesting because not only does it talk about the invaders, but it also guarantees every state a Republican form of
government.
And therefore, every single regional council, every department, every bureaucracy, by that definition alone, is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are guaranteed a government that we have elected,
mm-hmm.
not
yes.
a government that was put in place
mm-hmm.
by a dictator or president or Congress, whoever, it doesn't make any difference.
Take it back to the federal court.
That's right.
That's what you got to get. You got to use Article 3, Section 1 and 2, and you got to use Article 2, Section 2, the very next to the last paragraph. That paragraph tells you that you can get rid of the federal judges and you can get rid of the president appointing them and send it to the people to be elected, and the ones that seated now, hold them in treason so they can't run again. You got to get them out of there because, see, these people, I've done a dissertation on this with the, at that time, the president of Hillsdale College, and he's still on the Michigan Supreme Court. And at that time, he was a Supreme Justice of the Supreme Court. He and I both did dissertations to Congress about this, and he's saying that the judicial power, these federal judges have taken over and are changing the constitutional laws without an input of the people and have established a judicial government that they run.
That's right.
And I wrote the same thing. The only difference in our dissertation is my dissertation told you how to stop it. See, even though he's all the Supreme Justice and all that, he didn't know how to stop it because even he doesn't know the Constitution like I know it. That's
right.
Why,
well,
see, when I go into federal court, you know what I have to do in federal court? I have to prosecute federal attorneys. And when I go in there suing the government, I'm actually prosecuting their attorneys because their attorneys tell them that they can do all these things, and they almost never win. They always get – their clients always get immunity. They almost never win. Absolutely not. So I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. If we can just get these Republican leaders – and Lemieux, he really, really disappointed me last night.
I didn't want to say anything to you yesterday when you said that he was coming, but I knew from him from before when he was appointed by Charlie Crist, and he signed the Food Safety Act, which was SB 510, without reading it. And that is the bill that says that the federal government has the right to confiscate food in your garden. The federal government has the right to come into your house, and they can confiscate whatever it is that they need during a, quote, time of emergency.
Yeah, but they have to pay you for it.
Not in SB 510.
SB 510 is unconstitutional.
SB 510 is very unconstitutional.
The government can
do all that.
They can do eminent domain, but they got to pay you for what they
pay you for. Exactly. Well, this SB 510, which they call the Food Safety Act, as we know, whatever they say, they mean the opposite, regulates the farmers, regulated them out of business, regulates the fishermen out of business, regulates the homegrown organic garden stops a homegrown new type of to sell them to under SB 510. Of course, it has to be enforced, but that's another issue. But if I sold them to you, essentially I'd be breaking the law. So that bill, and that is what got me with Lemieux, is that he signed that bill without reading it.
Well, okay,
and when
the upcoming Senate election, mm-hmm. what if we had to vote him or Marco, what would we do?
Oh, my gosh. Office because both of them are not good. We have what we call two globalists or two progressive Republicans. Neither one are really constitutional. Neither one, I don't even think, know the Constitution. Both of them believe in open borders and diversity. So where are we going with those two candidates? My answer to you is we need another candidate. And you know what? From exactly what you're saying, we need to pay attention to the party. We need to pay attention to the people.
I'm going to be going to a meeting on the 12th of December December down the street here. They're going to be talking about stuff like this, and I'm certainly going to be sitting there. Now that I'm a member of BREC, I'm going to be sitting there, and so they know who I am. I've been going there 3 years. They know how I talk. They must want to hear.
Well,
the only thing I got to say, they must want to hear the truth.
You know something, the new people, the people who are now waking up and paying attention, I believe you're right. They do want to hear the truth.
They must be, because when they called my name last night, it was a roaring ovation.
Good. The people want to hear the truth. The media doesn't want
to
tell it. The politicians don't want anybody to know about it. But you know what? You're right. The people want to hear the truth.
I'm going to bring that information I sent you about what they want to kill the white people and all that stuff, and I'm going to bring them the information from the United States Census, say that the way we're doing this immigration with these Latinos and all this mess is what it's going to do to the white community. Yeah, and I'm going to tell them, I am not going to see the white race go down unconstitutionally. Now, if each state want to try to do that, see, the states won't be able to do that because the people will be able to vote it down. I'm going to tell them, I'm going to make them get up and fight. I'm going to tell them, don't you people, I'm not going to let you sit here and be scared, because, see, they're scared to say something because they'll go to talk about some racist white Republicans. But see, I'm going to be saying it, and the Sun Sentinel be there every meeting. So the they ain't going to be able to say the mean white Republicans. The only thing they're going to be able to say is Christine Timmons, BREC leader, a black Republican, said that she ain't going to see the white race go down. And I am not going to see the white race. Are you crazy? The white people is one. If it wasn't for the white folks, we wouldn't have no country. If they had to go over to Africa and they bought slaves, they ain't enslaved nobody. People was already a slave. And Mussolini back there in Clinton time, and it's in my book. Mussolini of Libya, Uganda. He told President Clinton to stop blaming the white people for slavery. You know what he told him? He said they better be glad they got sold to the white man, because they probably was going to be sold for foreign wars or eaten.
Yes.
That's exactly what he told. And you can read that online. Just Google Clinton and Mussolini. It's probably still online. That's what he said. So they went over there to Africa and bought slaves, and they didn't bring back a bunch of stupid people. They come back here and built the White House, got the farms going, the factories, all that stuff.
I know. Think of the things we wouldn't have if we didn't have Eli Whitney, if we didn't have George Washington Carver. Oh, my God.
And Elijah McCoy.
Absolutely.
And Granville T. Wood. Now you're going to take the stuff. The white people started this country from a wilderness, and they couldn't get no help from these people. these Mexicans and Latinos and Indians and the Haitians and the Jacks, they couldn't get no help. And now here we done built the country, and now we just going to let them waltz in and take over, as they say, without firing a shot. You a lie. Not as long as I take breath, you ain't. When I get through with this mess, they going to say, I'm not playing, because, you know, I'm the one that wrote all the welfare reform laws. You remember when the country got shut down in the 90s?
Yes. Yes.
And they got shut down because of the laws that I wrote in Lansing, Michigan. I wrote everything that Clinton signed, and I can show you the document. I can show you the pictures of me and the lead members of Congress. They used to bring 30 or 40 of them there to Lansing, and I sat at the congressional table, or I was in the list of speakers, and I told them everything you see done, the welfare reform, the 4 years and out, no drugs, no this. If it say no, I wrote it. I wrote mm-hmm. it. You remember when they started throwing them criminals out of public housing?
That's right. I remember that.
I wrote it.
I remember.
And when they got back to Congress, the Democrats was mad. You remember when they used to have fights in the House office building?
Yep.
They was fighting about what I wrote in Lansing. And so I told Dick Chrysler, I told him, I said, shoot, just shut the government down. And they shut it down. So I've been doing this a long time, and I am not going to see the white race go down unconstitutionally. Now, if you're stupid enough to take yourself down on the state level, I can't do nothing. But I am not going to see this happen, not without a fight. No.
Well, that is your information and your education is what we need to get to more people.
I'm just not going to have it, you know, because the Constitution was written, and they stopped the slavery, and then the white people is the one that freed us from all that stuff back in the 60s and all of that, you know. The white people have did what they could, and then the Democrats wanted to keep you messed up. They the ones that started all this mess that's going on now, and they used the immigrants against the black people by bringing the dope like they bringing all these high-tech jobs going overseas. When I get through with it, that ain't going to be happening either, because the United States don't have the right to do that. They can control commerce, but they can't control the people. They're not supposed to have anything to do with the jobs.
No. Well, those were different things.
I need a big old tax on every company that send outsourced work and put it in a fund for the Americans who are laid off from it to retrain them. You understand that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
We would be better off if we just stopped subsidizing, because that's really what the problem is.
We are subsidizing companies to outsource
their labor pool, to beef up the labor pool in third world countries. If we would stop subsidizing those companies, it wouldn't make economic sense.
Among foreign nation states and Indian tribes, they can actually do that. What they can't do, when these companies outsource the job, you can charge a tax for that. You can charge an actual tax for that. And so every time an American citizen loses a job, they're supposed to be retrained. That's Article 4, Section 2. It says each citizen of the United States is entitled to all the prison immunity. It don't say nothing about no... It don't say nothing like that.
Can I interrupt here just a minute?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Miss Texas.
Thank you. And I want to bring up something I discussed with Sally the other night. And when you're talking about integration and where the blacks came from and the fact that the white people went over to Africa and brought blacks over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to what I've been watching on history portion of PBS,
mm-hmm.
that's not what happened.
Mm-hmm. So what they say happened?
What they say happened was the Spaniards were the first.
What happened?
I want to hear what she got to say.
Okay, go ahead.
That the Spaniards were the first ones to go over and enslave the blacks, and they brought them to America and sold them to the white people.
Okay, the first group of people that did this and are still doing it were the Barbary Pirates, who were the Muslims.
Right.
The Barbary Pirates went into Africa, and they sold the blacks to the Spaniards who brought them to America. Only 5% of the slaves landed in America. The majority of the slaves went to Asia, and many of them went to Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference in Portugal and why they did not have such a deep problem with slavery is because in Portugal they allowed mixed marriages and the people became assimilated.
Mm-hmm.
In America, when they stopped the mixed marriages, that was when they were able to continually segregate the black race.
Mm.
But if you remember back, Jefferson was fighting the Barbary Pirates. They were the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
The Muslims, or the Barbary Pirates at that time, were capturing and enslaving the soldiers. And they were forcing Jefferson to pay reparations
mm-hmm.
as what they call protection money so that the American ships would not be attacked. Jefferson had enough of it, and then he went after the pirates, which then put an end to everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the Muslims are still doing that today.
Well, you know,
they
when
are
you,
still enslaving.
When you listen to Google Mussolini and Clinton, he said clearly that slavery was started by Muslim kings, tribal chiefs, and tribal leaders, and they used to capture other villages and sell them to anybody who came and bought them. So the Spaniards didn't really capture nobody. If they had any slaves, they bought them from the black leaders. And you want to know the truth, the black Moors are the ones that taught the Spaniards how to navigate. So from my knowledge, the first people in America from across the water was actually the black Moors. They were said to have a society right here in Florida with their laws and stuff. And then when the Spaniards followed them here, and there was big fighting and all that stuff, and the Moors went down in the fights. But the Spaniards did not start slavery either. They brought their slaves from the Muslim kings, just like the Arabs did and the Egyptians. Everybody bought slaves from the Africans. Now, when the white people went over there, they did the same thing. They went to the slave markets, and they bought slaves, and they did not start slavery. Like Jesse Jackson, all them people hooping and hollering, talking about the blacks and the whites enslaved. The black. They didn't do nothing. You was already enslaved. Yoweri, Y-O-W-E-R-I, Yoweri Museveni, he told Clinton, y'all need to stop blaming the white people for slavery. White people ain't starting no doggone slavery. It always was slavery way before they got there. Well, if you know the story of Livingston them, you know Livingston them, that was the first thing they reported. When they got there, they saw thousands of men in chains, blacks in chains, and being beaten by other blacks. People think when they see a black person and they see another black person that they all the same, but they're not. You know, so you have to understand. I know exactly what she's saying, and what she's saying is absolutely true. But the part that she don't know about is the Moors are the ones who taught the Spanish. And then they so dumb, you see what they did? They went out there and lost the Nina, the Pinta, and the Maria to the English. You remember when they was trying to fight for Mary, Queen of Scots, to take over?
Right.
And they got their butt kicked. You know why they got their butt kicked?
That's right.
Because the Moors taught them how to navigate, and they didn't do it right. So they was no match for the English armada. The English, they decked them. So the Spanish never have been a very smart race of people. And I'll tell you another thing. Have y'all ever heard of a terminology called blue blood?
Yes.
You know what it means?
Where all the royalty comes from.
Back in that day, the Spanish were real, real white people. And they would take their shirt and hold their arm out and say, show the blood, the veins were blue. That's how white they were, and that's why they didn't want to have anything to do with the Moors, because they wanted to remain blue bloods. But as you can plainly see, that didn't work, did it?
No.
That didn't work, did it? So that's why they're brown the way they are, because the Moors came into their land and they mixed with their women. You know Othello, you know, in Shakespeare, Othello.
That's right.
That's why the Spanish people, you know, are the colors that they are, and they're not very smart on their own. No, they have to be led. They have to be taught. Like I'm telling you, they had no business losing the Nina, the Pitts, and the Maria. Because they were taught to navigate by the Moors. The Moors was here in on this shore before they were. They called themselves following the Moors, and somehow or another, it must have been more them than it was the Moors, because they overtook it. But they really were not the first ones here. No.
Something else I've heard, and then I'll butt out.
Okay, hon.
On another channel I was watching, and I'm not going to say which one this time because undoubtedly I'm getting my wires crossed.
Oh, that's okay.
I heard the explanation, and I'm not saying that the word is correct, so don't take me wrong, that the explanation from the word, the N-word, I'm going to say the N-word.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. That it actually came from the slang pronunciation of Negro.
But you see, that was a terminology that was used by the tribal leaders. And the white people picked up on it.
Because it was used because of the Spanish word for black is Negro.
Yes, it is.
That's correct. Yes.
And that's where...
That is where it came from. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because coming from the North, it has a totally different meaning to us. Because we spoke of whether it was black or white, they were useless, what we considered useless, slovens, you know, lazy, didn't work, didn't take care of themselves, did nothing, always were on the I want, and gimme,
mm-hmm.
and then produced nothing. It didn't matter. Color was irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
We just, that was that group of people.
It's getting back that way now, actually. When you look at what's in the White House, and I have to tell people, a lot of times white people come to me and they'll be real mad with me. Why is this black president doing such? And I have to tell people, Obama is not a black man. He's a mulatto. His mother is pure white. And guess what else I don't believe? I believe that he may have been born in America, but I don't believe that his mother was married to that black man, because back in those days, white women were not
married
black men.
That's right.
But do they think we're stupid?
Yep.
It's a proven fact.
I bet you they was in some dope house or something. I wouldn't doubt it.
I
wouldn't doubt it, but I do not believe they were married. That's what I don't believe. A valid marriage certificate, because y'all know better than that. Y'all, they just now starting to marry black men, like, you know, them Kardashian whores out there. You know, they'll marry anybody. You know what I'm saying. They'll marry anybody. You know, so that's becoming real, real popular. But back in them days, you wasn't white woman marrying a black man.
Well, that was the same thing. Even if you married out of your religion, if you married out of your sect, if you married out of anything, you were ostracized just because at that time segregation.
And what county did they marry in? See, that's the
right.
thing y'all
That was the other
at.
Thing, too. Right.
Come up with his mama marriage license. Come up with that. Up with that. That's what I believe. I don't think that she was married to that man. Because when you look
at his, proof out there
at
his
that brother, have y'all seen Obama's brother?
Yes.
He's black as tar. Black as tar. When and where did she get married at?
They got married in the United States.
Where?
Yeah.
Where?
That'd be a good question.
Around the Connecticut area, but there's always...
Uh-huh. You think I believe that? You believe in Connecticut? I don't believe that. Not in Connecticut?
No.
A
I don't think so either.
Married a black man in Connecticut almost 50 years ago?
No,
I
don't think so either.
Now in Connecticut.
Let me finish what I'm saying.
Okay, let her finish.
Obama is not a U.S. citizen.
I don't care what kind of
father,
citizen he is.
His father was never became a citizen here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I take that back. He wasn't married in Connecticut. He was married over there because they have signs all over the place over there celebrating the fact that he was born there. But his father was part of the United States.
Well, you know,
well,
like
that depends on who we believe is his father.
Thank you.
Well,
that's
another
thing too. But
thank
either way, it doesn't
much.
Matter because he is not a naturalized citizen of the United States. And to be a president in this country, you are supposed to be a naturalized citizen.
And
a natural, not naturalized.
You need to show your mama marriage license too.
You're supposed to be a natural born citizen.
And what about your mama's marriage life? What year was she married in? What year was he born?
Yep.
See, that's
a good
something nobody
also.
See, people ain't looking at that.
No.
Well,
you know, the sad thing is there's so many things that we could find about him, even if we just took one. I mean, he's a liar. Period. End of story. Proven liar. Why on earth would anybody want to believe, want to pay attention to, want to respect a person who's a known liar? I don't care who they are. If I knew that you constantly lied to me,
but
how could I respect
you? These aren't lies. This is fraud. There's a difference between a lie and
fraud. I was talking about what he said about I was talking about what he said about Obamacare. We know he lied. Period.
This is in my opinion. In my legal opinion, you know, I'm a pro se attorney.
Right.
That's not lying. That's fraud. That's a whole
other
story.
Even worse.
That's a whole other. He committed a fraud against America. He told America that this was going to do all this for them, and it didn't do it. If you did this, you would be sued. You might even be arrested for fraud. Any of us on this phone, if we did come up with some business like that, you go to jail.
That's true.
For wire fraud, mail fraud, every kind of fraud. And the SEC would be shutting you down. The FBI would be kicking in your doors and arresting all your telemarketers. You would be going to prison for doing stuff like this. This is criminal what he's doing. If the private sector run their business and tell a lie like that, that the business is going to do such and such and such and such, and people put their money in it, and it don't do that, that's fraud.
Yes.
That's fraud. This is worse than lying. And I tell them that when I call that 1-800 number, I tell them that all the time. They say, affordable health care, most people are required to have insurance through the marketplace or private on the job by 2014 or pay a fee. And I said, stop right there. I said, then I read them what the Supreme Court said, that it's a tax and there are no fees, fines, levies, or liens. And I tell them, if you were selling a stock and you misrepresented a stock with fear-mongering, telling somebody if they don't have it, something bad going to happen, which is extortion. It's also extortion. I told them what would happen to your stock. The SEC would shut you and your stock down. You would be arrested by a U.S. Marshal, and you would have to go to federal court, and you would likely go to federal prison. And I told them, if you were working at a company and you were on the phone making this kind of fraudulent statement and the public bought into that statement, they would get you for wire fraud. They would kick in the doors and call it a boiler room.
Well, you're absolutely right.
I tell them the only reason you're getting away with because it's the federal government doing it.
Yep. And we have a complacent Congress
who
can't get their heads out of their butts.
Excuse me. the Democrats running, ain't nothing Republican. They done, Republicans did all they can do. They done shut the government down. They done fought it every step of the way. They have did a good job fighting it, but they don't have the lead in the Senate. And then you got Republicans like Marco Rubio. He out there doing his old mess, you know, and look like all we got to run is Lemieux. But let me tell you something, what's going to happen this week. On December 12th at this Republican meeting, I'm going to trash Lemieux.
Good, thank you.
I'm going to trash him. I'm going to tell him they need to get somebody else.
We need somebody else. You're absolutely right.
I'm
going to
trash him.
We need to get somebody else.
I get so sick of these tip O'Neill Republicans. There isn't a real Republican in the House or the Senate. Because none of them can understand that the laws that we live by are not constitutional. They were written by the communist-style Tip O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
And until we leave that style alone, we can't save America. And they act like, and let me tell you what one of them told us. He told me personally that he believed that all these people from these other nations going to take over because the white people ain't having no babies. I'm talking about he ain't had no kids and his brother. What is you, in other words, he giving up. I say, look, it's fine. I say, but they can't come this way. If they want to come, let them come under the Constitution.
That's right.
That's my only complaint. I don't care how many immigrants come. As long as you come under the United States Constitution, they say you got to get permission from that state. You got to pay that state all those fees. Because, see, once you come here, the state got to be the one responsible for you if you get sick or anything or whoever sponsored you. So you're going to have to pay your dues. Today is $1,500. And then Marco Rubio said they're collecting 7 or 8 years back pay from every one of them. Do you know how much money that is for the state of Florida? About 3 million times, 8,000.
Right.
That money would be in the state of Florida. So if the state of Florida registered you and you paid up, that's one story. Because the state of Florida can't do it unless the people vote for it. If the people get together, you remember when they voted down the amendments? The people can get together and vote that we're not going to have immigrants in Florida. They can do that in the Supreme Court and nobody can't do nothing. You know why? Amendment number 11 says... That's the amendment that tell you who can sue a state in federal court and who can't. It says if you are a citizen or a subject of a foreign state, you can't sue any of the United States in federal court. Yet you see them doing it every day.
Yes, they are doing
That's
it constantly.
That's why I tell you, you got to go back to Article 3, Section 1 and 2, where it say Congress can ordain and establish the inferior courts from time to time. That's
well,
why we gotta,
and then we have to elect the right people to be
in
Congress.
Yeah, but at least but get rid of these first.
Yes, we do. We have to get rid of these people. Every single one of them.
Hold them all in treason. And see, once you hold them in treason, when the new judges come in, they might be a little bit scared of doing a bunch of shit knowing that they can be held in treason.
You
now,
are right.
You may not be able to get them on their decisions, but you can get them on treason if their decision don't comply with the U.S. Constitution and it causes any war or any favoring or aiding and abetting an enemy of the state. That's treason.
Yes,
Article 3, Section 3. It says treason is levying war against any of the United States and giving aid or comfort to any of its enemies. So when these federal judges do that, they are in treason.
Well,
and it's time that Congress start home. Because, see, I know most of the people I know in Congress don't like the federal court, and they always complaining. So when I be on these lines, let me give y'all a phone number. 800.
Okay.
221-2764. That
is
the AARP legislative hotline. Now, I don't like a whole lot of things they do, but you can get a zip code from anywhere in the United States. When you call that number, it's going to say something about tell them to stop using the Social Security money and all that stuff. And then they're going to say, if you want to speak with anybody, put in your zip code. You can put in any zip code in the United States, and it'll take you right to Washington, D.C., to their office. And so people who have landlines won't have to pay for it.
Right. That's wonderful.
Yep.
Christine, we are almost at the top of the hour again, and we're almost out of time. You mentioned a book. Tell us what it is. Where can we find it?
Well, I'm going to put it back in print. You know, it takes a little time. But the minute I get it put back in print, then
you'll let us know.
Now,
thank
you. I'm going to tell you about this book. You're going to be shocked. Black people are not going to like it.
Unfortunately, you have a minute, so talk fast.
Black people are not going to like this book because it tells how the Democrats made them a subculture. 80% of the black community are not the real original black people. They are a subculture created by Democrat drugs and welfare. End of that story.
There you go. That's the end of that.
Christine, you
hey, Christine,
tell us
it's always a pleasure.
I will, and before I hang up this phone, I am not going to see my white race go down without a fight. Do you understand that?
We
thank
appreciate you, Christine.
Kidding.
And you will have to let us know what happens at your meeting on the 12th because I'm very interested in what's going to be there, so please let me know, and we'll tell everybody next week. In the meantime, it's time to say goodnight. It's time to say goodbye.
And I love
Christine
you
Timmons,
I love
you all. Love you. God bless you. Everyone have an absolutely wonderful Thanksgiving. John, what are you doing Thanksgiving?
I'm going to be traveling to the drilling rig in the Gulf of Mexico.
John, well, we'll have to make sure you get lots of turkey to take with you. But you're
oh,
doing
yes, ma'am. Yeah, they always
job.
Put on a good feast out there. Hey,
oh,
God bless
great.
Everybody, and happy
for,
Thanksgiving.
For letting me listen to you.
Thank you, Christine, for joining us. If you need to reach Christine, please give me send me an email at info@agenda21today.com. You're listening to American Freedom Watch Radio, brought to you live on blogtalkradio.com, American Statesman, and on redstatetalkradio.com. Please join us. Share our websites, agenda21today.com, saveamericafoundation.com, panhandlepatriots.com, and karenshone.com. We wish all of you a very, very, very happy Thanksgiving. And please take pause, reflect, throw those electronic devices in a pail, and don't pick them up until the turkey is finished. Thank you all for joining us, John. As a pleasure as always, and we will see you again next week. God bless you, and God bless America.
Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night, all.